Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the one and only Pro Wrestling Interviews. This is Dr. John Stamey live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Beautiful night out tonight, and we're so glad we've got some exciting guests tonight. Without any introduction, well, I'll give them a small introduction. The one and only, the Amazing Velvet, is running everything tonight. Amazing Velvet, the greatest wrestler in Ravenel, South Carolina. How are you doing tonight? Oh my God!
I'm looking for the fire and the smoke under my butt. Okay, I'm good.
Okay,
I'm doing good, man. I had a rough day because I got my COVID shot on Friday. I had a fever of 103.7 earlier today, and I got it back down to 98.3, so I'm good. We have a great show. Susan Green is with us, NWA Hall of Famer, Professional Wrestling Hall of Famer. How are you tonight?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad you're here.
You're a Wrestling Hall of Famer, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, not yet. She's an inductee. She has not accepted her award yet.
Okay. Well, that's
don't
okay.
Push it. Don't push it, John.
Not quite there yet.
And we have the scariest guy.
Dr. John saying that she is one of the most incredible wrestlers in the world of wrestling and cannot wait to be down there.
I hope you're not sitting down,
May
Susan.
15th.
Your butt's going to catch on fire. But you might have to open the door with all the smoke in your house.
Yeah.
I love it. And one of the scariest men on the planet, he does jujitsu. He does MMA. He's also a professional wrestler, and he's got one of the deepest voices in professional wrestling, Sinister.
Hey, hello, hello, hello.
Oh, Lord, you scare me every time you come on. But I am going to, at the end of the show, Sinister will have an update for us on what he's doing, so we'll hang on to that. And if you ever run into this guy in a dark alley, you might want to turn around and go the other way. His name is Ronnie York, and you never trust a York. Ronnie, how are you this evening?
Doing good. Yourself?
Yeah, man. We're here. Yeah, I saw what you did last night, man. I you know what? You had a little help, but, you know, I can't fault that. So, anyway all I know is that ice cream cone exploded, and I don't know what happened after that. So,
hey, the way I look at it, I didn't get caught cheating, so I didn't do nothing wrong.
All right.
Land to win.
Are y'all ready? Is anybody else on the line, Dr. John? Did we get anybody waiting in the queue?
I don't think so. Except
am I not
our
in
guest
the queue?
Of honor tonight.
No. Queue means there's somebody waiting in to get in. Anybody else? No, you're in the queue, buddy. I'm a cue ball, but, you know.
You're a cue ball.
All right. Oh, and that's it right for now. All right.
That's it,
Okay. Well, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest. And he has an entrance theme, too. Are you ready?
Oh, my God. We're ready.
Can you hear that?
Again?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who has reestablished himself as a leader of JBE, Jess Bradley Enterprises, he is now the complete owner of that group. This is none other than manager extraordinaire, Reginald Vanderhoff.
Oh, my gosh, what an introduction. Thank you, everyone, for having me on.
Absolutely,
glad
bro.
To be here. Glad to be here amongst this illustrious panel. Some of you I know, some of you I haven't seen in a long time, but good to be here.
Good. Now, before we get into other stuff, now listen, now that you outright own JBE, are you going to change the name? Are you going to make it something else? Are you going, because you're not, obviously those guys aren't around anymore, obviously because the Zebra Kid went back to South Africa, Mike Nova probably in prison. And Jeff Bradley got married for the, ninth time, so he probably owes child support in 20 states, so I don't know.
Well, Velvet, I've known you a long time, and let's say, let's just say we've been up and down the road a few times, and let's just say the only thing about JBE is nothing's for sure, kind of like the Stinger says. And
right.
I don't know. I might have to make a few. I could make a few phone calls, and you know, it wouldn't be hard to put that thing back
Uh-oh.
Together. I don't think,
Uh-oh.
Especially now that I'm back.
All right. Okay.
Might throw some
okay.
of that money around and see what happens.
There you go. Now that you got it all now and you bought it back, I understand that. Now, we're gonna drop back a little bit for a second. Now, when did you first start watching wrestling? And who was your all time favorite as a kid?
Oh, me. Wow.
Yeah, it's all about you.
I would have to. First, I'm honored to be the guest of honor. Secondly, I know I started watching in '83.
Mm-hmm.
That would make me about 11 years old back then. I'm aging myself, but
right.
I think the thing that hooked me in, and a lot of your guests should be familiar with this, was the night in the Omni where Dusty got his leg broke by Ric Flair and Ole and Arn Anderson. That's what hooked me in. I was hooked after that.
Right. That's awesome. That's a good memory, a real good memory.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah.
as you're progressing as a kid and you're going through school and you're probably going to matches when you can and things like that. So how did that turn into you getting into the business?
Well, what's interesting, and I don't know if you and I had ever discussed this or not, but I actually was neighbors. Well, my friend was a neighbor of a guy that was a gentleman that was a referee, and he would bring us down to Johnson Haygood and St. Andrew's Gym after, you know, what am I trying to say? Not the King Street Palace. What was that place called?
Charleston County Hall.
Yeah,
it was
County Hall.
County
Thank
Hall.
You very much.
Then it became the King Street Palace. Yes.
right. So that place had either gotten condemned or they had to close. They had
it
to
did.
Shut it down. And the NWA had moved into the St. Andrew's Gym. They also ran shows from Johnson Haygood.
Correct.
So the gentleman's name was Danny. He drove us down there, and fortunately enough, you know, we get to hang out, and I've got pictures from where we used to just jump around in the ring like stupid idiots, and we would get tasks like somebody needs a hot dog, Ricky Morton needs a hot dog, or stand by the door and make sure nobody goes over here. So we would do that as much as we could.
Right.
And the last time I got to do that was in '89 at Goose Creek High School.
Okay.
And then of course Turner had bought. What was going to be known as WCW
well, then,
by then.
Right.
And I can remember asking one of the ring crew for a job, and he said, we might not have jobs in 6 months. So there you go.
That was funny. That was funny. You're right about that. That was funny. That is a true statement I've ever said.
Right.
Well, hold your train of thought. But wasn't still Klondike Bill still doing the area and this area? Since Carolina's putting the ring up, that's Jake the Snake's father.
Because
he gave me a bunch of shirts. I did the same thing you did. I actually got the bump in the ring and stuff like that after the show before they tore it down and run the ropes. He let me do it. I went to dinner with him a couple times. He gave me a bunch of other stuff they were getting rid of. You know, I got a WCW Four Horsemen shirt from him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to say
so,
that was
know,
Bill,
so I didn't
but
really
don't
off.
Hold me to it. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, it changed by then, though, because I think when it, mm-hmm. he probably was one of the guys that went out when it changed to WCW. So go ahead. All right.
Yeah,
so
it could have been.
Cool.
I was going
to
say, I don't know. Only that if one of them walked up, maybe I would recognize it by face. But like I said, I just went.
Right.
I went down there with them. I didn't really get, it was just like, hey, kid, do this. You know, I didn't really get to know.
Right,
him.
I got you.
But I don't know if you want me to tell the story or not. How much time do we have?
No, we got an
Danny
hour.
Danny had taken we were all in my friend's mother's car, and Danny was driving, and we had Ronnie Garvin and we had Wahoo in the car. And at one point, I said to Mr. Garvin, and I'm probably like 13, 14 years old, and I said, I want to get in the wrestling business. You know, well, he didn't call it the business then, but I said, I want to get into wrestling. You know, and he said, right. Kid, don't get into this crazy stuff like that. So fast forward to 2007, and I'm doing play-by-play commentary for CWA out of Orangeburg.
Right.
And I get in the back, and there's Ron Garvin sitting next to Magnum TA. I'm name dropping, so what's your feet?
Oh, you're good. You're right.
Next to Magnum TA. Yeah, go ahead. Right. So next to Magnum TA and Dr. Fest Steve Williams. And Arn Anderson was behind me signing stuff for a couple of people. And I said, Mr. Garvin, you know, my name's Jason, blah, 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 you know, my alter ego. And you once told me not to get in the wrestling business. I'm very sorry to disappoint you, sir. And I popped him.
Yeah, that's funny.
He didn't remember who I was, but he cracked up. But I did tell him the town, and he acknowledged. He said, yeah, I remember working Charleston a lot. So that was pretty.
Yeah,
that was a good feeling.
He worked at the original ACW with us a couple times. But,
awesome!
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a quick funny story. We went to the NWA, the first NWA, one of the first. It was 1998. We went to the NWA Hall of Fame. Lawler was showing his behind all over the place. I went with Lee Scott and some wrestlers. Well, Lee goes, come here. Dave, come here. We walked in the back. They had international superstars. They had this Japanese guy who won the NWA strap because that's what was on the line for the show. We're in the back, sit with Ronnie, okay? Ronnie Garvin, Tommy Young, a couple other wrestlers. Big Hoss was standing holding the door, and Abdullah Butcher was sitting in front of me, buck naked.
Oh,
my face was so red because Ronnie's leaning over me, poking me in the ribs, going, "Come on, look at that fat bastard. Look at him. I'm like, I'm trying not to look at him, and behind the door, so he's making faces at me too, going, "Yeah." I'm like, "What the hell?" So he finally gets up and goes to get a shower, and I went, "Oh God, I'm gonna die." That was my Ronnie. And then I met Ronnie Garvin with Susan again down at the Gulf Coast reunion, but that's another story for a time. So I want to get back to you here. With that said, so you basically started as an announcer. Where did that lead you to next?
Well, actually, I started as a referee with you guys.
Oh, well, you
skipped
that.
Okay, well, let's go back a little bit. So I met Jess Bradley.
Right.
At my shoot job.
Can you shoot it?
Right.
And he also introduced me to Kevin Moon, who was once you guys' ring announcer.
Correct.
The son of Dan Moon, who's like was infamous in the Low Country. He was always doing radio and sports radio and things like that.
Right.
Well, Kevin and Jeff and I started talking, and they say, "Why don't you come down and, you know, help us out?" Now, my original plan was to only be a security guy or to hang out,
right,
you know, whatever little function that
John
could
check do. The queue. Okay, go ahead.
And somehow I got thrust into the role as a referee, and, you know, that went on for another 6 to 8 months.
Right.
Well, you say, well,
that,
I'll tell you a quick story. You saved my rear end one night because I think it was only the second show that we did, and Guerrero was teaming with what was that guy's name? Chato Vega.
Art.
Yeah.
I thought it was Art Glory.
And
same thing, right?
Well, yeah. And anyway, that was the main event. But earlier in the night, I got kicked in the head by Sadie Grimm. Do you remember? You don't remember that.
I remember that.
So you had to. I was supposed to do the whole night, but you ended up filling in for me.
Correct. And I took a beat.
Yeah, you looked at
they beat me. Go ahead.
No, I remember they said said, we think Reggie's got his bell rung. Well, I went in the back, and you looked at me, and you're like, dude, you need to sit this one out.
Yeah. Your eyes were in the back of your head, bro.
Yeah. So that was the first concussion.
Oh, Lord. What a way to go.
Look, had a ways to go.
I'm telling you. That's better than getting hit in the head with a chair by Mack truck.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
How many times you get hit in the head with a chair by Preston?
Jeff Bradley is on the line.
Oh, there he is. Brother.
What's up, brother?
I love it.
I am here from the palatial Vanderhoff State. Just listening in and answering some questions, and good to hear from you, man.
Man, my ears were burning, and I heard my name.
he heard JB.
I love it.
He heard my
name.
That's
right. He didn't hear, but he didn't hear this though. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Can you hear that, Brad?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. It's always in my queue. It's on my playlist.
Hey, man, when you hear Jackal, you know it's on.
Oh, dude, that's, listen.
You and Preston probably start looking behind your back.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we did. And the funny thing about it is, listen, the funny thing about that is that was personally, and I think if we had traveled a little more together and went to a lot of other indies and you played this, I'm telling you, this was the hottest entrance in the business at the time. Hands down. Best music. Best way you did everything.
No.
I mean, I changed a lot. I did Girls Just Want to Have Fun, the original Girls Just Want to Have Fun, the dance remix, Raining Men, and then what was the other one? George Michael, Wake Me Up Before You Go-Go Wham. What else?
You used
and then the last,
used Pink also.
Pink, I
not
did.
To say you used Pink, yeah.
And Madonna.
Get This Party Started. And Madonna. Yeah,
and,
yeah,
you're right.
Madonna one too.
And then now for the last probably... Oh, I don't know, 8 years, I've been doing I Hate Myself for Loving You from Joan Jett and the Black Arts. So, because
good
I have a drum beat solo. Yeah. So now that you became a referee and that happened, what was the next transition for you at this point?
Well, there was additional training.
Right.
And a lot of road trips to the mountains of West Virginia.
Nice.
And then a couple of stops at Eagles.
Right.
And then I actually got a call from you saying you were going to run Charleston. And I said, yeah, I'm down. And then by that time, we had added Skippy and Mike Nova, Beaver Kids. And I think we had ourselves a little 3-on-2 match, which was a lot of fun.
That was fun. And you had the breakaway pants on that made the whole show.
And poor old – yeah, how many times have I done that one? No. And poor old,
we were the first,
poor old
though.
Michael Madden. Yeah, y'all were the first. Oh, poor old Michael Madden.
He was sick as a dog. He was throwing up in the back, and then he got hit with a chair by Preston. Oh, so
gee, imagine that.
So I'm giving away secrets here, but what was funny is Michael Madden missed his cue. Dave gives me a suplex, and I'm like, is this the finish? And I didn't know, and I couldn't hear anything, and I kicked out at like 2.
Yep.
And then finally,
Madden
hit the ring and gave me the DDT. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, you never want to get
south
hit.
Sometimes, but.
It does. Well, I mean, come on. It's indie wrestling. It's indie wrestling. But it's fun. I mean, listen. Whatever's happened in this business has already happened. It's going to happen again to the youngins. They're going to learn the hard way. They're going to learn their way and all that. So that being said, everything I personally I wouldn't change it for the world. Yeah, we all made mistakes, and yeah, we all went and partied and whatever. Okay, I wouldn't change it for the world at all.
I wouldn't either. I wouldn't either.
I'm telling you, man, it's one of those things that it's in your blood. I mean, that's still boiling in my blood, and I'm gonna be 54 in June. Heck, Susan's 68, still getting in the ring.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, she ain't stopping, bro. We're gonna have to talk about the ring.
And Susan, I'm gonna put Susan over here a little bit. Susan will hit you harder than any man I've ever been hit by. and the people she trains, brother, they ain't a bit light. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Hey, dang it! I get you ready for Mexico and Japan.
Exactly.
That's right. Cause,
oh my
cause
God!
Because Micah Cox has chopped buttons off of my shirt. I don't know how many times.
Everybody on the side note that knows us, Susan, I don't know if she remembers this or not. I know Brad remembers this, and I already talked to it about with Reginald Vanderhoff. But the running gag was when I lived in West Ashley and we used to train, the running gag was Micah was the Mexican mailman and Christina's his daughter. And I told Reggie I was going to send him a letter. She's turning 18. That if he's not going to pay all that back child support, at least buy her a car for her graduation. And he said, you got
to
do
that.
He'd
get a kick out of it.
He goes, you got to do that, man. So anyway, get back.
Don't give me any ideas. If you don't, I will.
Oh, lady. Don't give you that. Right, don't threaten me with a good time. Shit. What I'm talking about.
Man.
So, all right. Well, I mean, you've been a lot of places, obviously, between ring announcing, refereeing, and managing.
Right.
Okay. Besides the obvious JBE, I know you had fun. It was probably one of your first things you did as a manager. We'll set that aside. Right. We'll set that aside for now. Who in this did you manage later on that you thoroughly enjoyed working with?
Oh well, we just mentioned him. Once the thing with JBE ended, then I went straight into managing Malachi Makata.
Makata first,
Makata first, and then Malachi later on, and that probably went on for three more years.
That's good
because
See,
we were going. It was me and him, Solitude. And every once in a while, it'd be Rufio and some other folks. And I mean,
there was
three or four years we ran pretty hard. Three or four nights a week.
Right.
And I can remember one time we were looking for a hotel in Camden.
good luck.
And we walked into this place. I'm sorry, not Camden, Conway. Conway, South Carolina, right outside of Myrtle Beach.
Right.
So we're in Conway, and we get the room, and I thought I happened upon a murder scene. I don't know what had happened in that room the night before, but either somebody had a lot of fun with a ketchup bottle, or it was a not taped off crime scene, and Solitude's wife came out and looked at me, and we all looked at each other, and she says, "We can't stay here." And I said, and then I looked at their room, and their room was even worse. So, yeah, the things you see on a road.
Yeah.
But
see,
yeah,
Brad and I went somewhere, and then we went somewhere to wrestle, and so Brad met this chick always. Because he was the East Coast gigolo. He was East Coast gigolo. Come on.
The East Coast gigolo.
Right? So he goes, "We got to get this cheap-ass room." I said, "Okay." Oh, my language. Never mind. So we get this cheap room, right? We open it, and it had the windows that went from the ceiling to the floor, right? And it was all, and you didn't see it when you walked up because all you saw was the curtain, right? I pulled the curtain back. Mm-hmm. There's a crack from the top to the bottom, and they taped it on both sides. I said, oh, Lord, we're going to die in here tonight. I'm like, oh, my God, we're going to die. And then Susan, we went down to the Red Roof Inn in Alabama together, and we opened the door. The room looked like it had been ransacked. There were leaves all in it from outside. And now, this is the funniest thing I ever seen in my life. Susan grabbed me, going in there, check it out. I said, well, I got to check it out. You're a bigger man than I am. She goes, no, you go in there and check it out. So I'm walking in there. She goes, check the bathroom. Make sure there's not a dead hooker in the bathroom. I'm like, what the hell?
That's some funny stuff. But there's always those hotel girls.
Well,
they'd
have jumped over him, and then I'd have shot him.
Mm-hmm.
he was
carrying a .45 with her.
You almost have to.
Oh,
Malachi. Malachi, John Schuyler, and I had a booking up in Greenville, and I believe it was when either Donovan Cruz or Norton Lewis was running NCW.
I think it was Donovan then.
And we were we're just planning on spending the night. It's like, you know, we're not going to bother to drive home tonight. So we went to a $20 Motel 6. You can already tell where this is going. I kid you not, my bed was concave. It was not straight. And about 3 a.m., I heard what sounded like to be a drug deal in progress, and I'm like,
oh, Lord.
I haven't prayed often, but that night I said a little prayer, like, let me live. Just let me live. Don't
let
them find
me
in this hotel. Right.
We've all been there and done that, brother. I'm telling you what, it is a trip. And you know what? And people don't understand that. I mean, later we look back at it and laugh. But at the time, you're like, really? I got to stay here? Oh, Lord have mercy. But that's a part of the business back then, you know?
Well, you're trying to save money on the road. That's one thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know,
That sounds like one of them hotels they rent by the hour.
I got one for you. We piled 7 wrestlers into a double bedded room at a Motel 6 because we wanted to save money. So we backed the car up to the side where we were going in, and everybody ran in but me. So I get in there. There's a chick in the room smoking a cigarette and drinking wine. Everybody just standing there like, what the hell's going on? She goes, I work here, and I'm done cleaning shit. So I kind of walked through, and I said, so you come with the room? She goes, if you want. I went, all right, you got to go.
Oh,
girl,
dear.
And half of them were like, hang on a minute, Velvet, wait a minute. Like, you take no chances, brother. Have fun with that. I'll go outside, back in the van.
While we're swapping stories, I was trying to remember if Susan trained, oh, gosh, what was he, Cowboy Jesse, I can't remember his name. Oh, my gosh.
Cowboy Tex?
Never mind. What? Huh?
We had one that was going as a cowboy, and he went as Tex something.
He was a black fellow with a really deep voice. And he was tight with Micah.
No,
not
Big
Dingy. I know him. But
somebody else.
But
yeah,
it was Cowboy Jesse. Somebody. He ended up moving. He would call Malachi and say, "Yeah, I'm up here and I'm living near Monty Brown." And I cannot remember for the life of me. But anyway, this person just happened to be in the hotel with us, and so I'm down on – I don't even – the beds are very small, and I'm down on the floor. And he comes out one night – he comes out of the shower buck naked, and Tank Lewis is in the bed.
Oh, Tank Lewis.
And Jesse says,
That room looks, that bed looks big enough for room for two, Bo.
You think?
So here's this butt-naked man. And needless to say, Tank was on the floor with the rest of us. But good times, man.
That's funny. That is too funny. Oh, yeah, my goodness.
He was that's how he slept.
Yep. Dr. John?
Yes, sir.
You have a new man in the queue right now that we need to introduce.
Well, we do. He just showed up. He is the one and only Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing?
Hey, guys. Great to be here.
Hey, buddy. What's up?
How you doing? I just got upset filming this weekend for the Devil's Daughter, and I just got upset, and I'm back home. I just wanted to call in and say hello to everyone, man.
We're glad you did.
Another Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame inductee on the line. Yes, sir, right there. The man, the myth, the legend.
and looking forward to it. Stro, this is Reginald Vanderhoff. I have never met you, sir. However, I have heard many, 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 many complimentary things from my peers, and it's good. It's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's great to be heard. it's good to hear your voice too, Reginald. I've been enjoying the interview thus far.
Thank you. Like I said, I look forward to emceeing the Hall of Fame. This is going to be a lot of fun for me.
Oh, I can't wait. It's like Christmas come early, man. I can't wait.
Yeah. It'd be nice to do something positive and good for a change for a while.
Right.
Right.
Amen. Exactly.
Amen. That's right. So, with this point in the show, we're halfway through. I'm going to ask Jeff Bradley to ask either you're in cahoots with Reginald Vanderhoff, sir, or you just sold the majority shares to Reginald Vanderhoff again. So what's up with that, man? Are you still trying to get at me? Are y'all still trying to get velvet and feathers? Come on, man. I mean, it's just a thorn in my side, man. Give it up.
I'll let Jess answer first if you'd like, or otherwise I have an answer for that.
Oh boy. We'll have two
answers. Well, see, me and Reggie have always been in cahoots.
See? Dang it. I knew it.
I have to take care of my guy's assets, all right? Because first we can't have him, one of the nine wives, you know, taking everything. So I take care of that.
Nine wives?
I take care of the business side.
All we need is with the little ball.
Amazing Velvet. Hey, Amazing Velvet,
uh-huh.
This is Dr. John.
Yeah.
We've got Professor Wrestling Steve Logan on, and we've also got 843-635 on the line. So we got two more callers in.
Hello.
Hey,
who's on the line?
Thanks for having me on.
Hey, Professor Steve, what's up, buddy?
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
To Reginald. Reginald, who's your greatest adversary as a manager?
Oh, wow. That's a tough question. Of course, we had incredible feuds with of course, Amazing Velvet and Tommy Feathers. But, a guy he was a rival, but I always enjoyed was Crash the Milkman.
Yeah, good call.
There was a night in Starrett Hall, and Mack Truck and I were together. And before this match, he goes, man,
that guy's got milk cartons. I'm thinking about we gonna hit him in the head with the milk carton. And I said, I bet you won't. And then Mack Truck says, yeah, I bet I will. So here comes, so we roll him to the outside, and here comes the spot. So I grab Crash the Milkman. About that time, that milk hits him in the head with the carton, and milk goes all over the front row. Okay. Now we – oh, hang on.
Sounds like
over.
A Gallagher show.
So I know, right? It was fantastic. But here's the kicker. Guess who got the blame for all that? Old Reginald Vanderhoff. My wife comes to the back and she says, my wife comes to the back and she says, don't go out this front door. I said, well, what do you mean? She says, well, there's about five women who want to kill you right now for the milk. I said, I just held the guy. I said, oh, they're going to jump on little old me. They won't jump on big old 6'4" back truck. I said, I see how it is now. But I left out the back.
Upright.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome, dude.
Got the ambulance seat.
I was going to say, to answer that question, it would definitely be Velvet, Feathers, and Crash the Milkman's right up there for sure.
Absolutely. I love him. He's such a good dude.
He really is.
He was
definitely
awesome.
One of my favorites. Yeah. Great guy.
Don't forget that Mikata was an adversary before you managed him.
He was an adversary. But Jess, I managed him so long after we split up that I forget he was an adversary at the time.
But you know what? He was still would have, I don't know. I think you did the right thing by pulling him away from that because Jess Bradley's head was not in the game with all them women he was dealing with.
Imagine that.
Wow.
I'll tell you,
they
know what
had,
to say to that, buddy.
They had a heck of a feud, I know that for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
I remember the night he pulled a VCR out from under the ring and hit me with it, and I'm like, where in the hell did that come from?
Right?
Yeah, and I was in Reno at the time, so.
Dude, he hit Brad, and I said, oh, that's not good.
I had to take a little... That's on tape somewhere.
Somewhere
I
have it.
Somebody
I'm
has it.
I'm starting to dig stuff up. I'm starting to dig stuff up.
That'd make it fun.
Oh, yeah. I got about 8 tapes to get digitalized, and then hopefully Reggie will help me with his stuff. I'll help him with his stuff, and we'll get it digitalized.
Digitalized? Where did you go to school?
I don't know. We'll put it on a flash drive, baby. Let me tell you something, baby. We'll put it on a flash drive. I don't even know what that is.
School of Hard Knocks.
It'd be on 8-track.
Right. Yeah. 8-track, dang it. All right. Oh, laser disc.
Laser disc.
Oh, I remember
laser disc. Yeah, I had one too. Holy cow. That was crap.
Yeah, all you got to do is page him with his pager.
Yeah, right.
Take that thing into an electronic store and say, sir, I want to get this on a 45.
Right, yeah.
but it's a video tape. No, I don't care. I just want the audio. Put it on 45, thank you.
No, just the audio. No MP3. I want that scratchy sound in the back.
Yeah. Maracha band.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Oh man,
that is good. That's funny.
Oh, that's fun. I need to come on this show more often.
Right. Dude, you're welcome anytime to hang out with us. Anytime. You know, I was gonna start doing the people on the Hall of Fame. So I guess the next 2 weeks I'll be doing the people on the Hall of Fame. You're welcome to come on anytime, but we're not done with you yet. So you gotta come on.
All right,
more
all right.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Since we're all swapping stories, Susie, do you have a question or do you have a story you would like to tell? Oh, boy, she's laughing. I'm running. I'm going to take my headphones off and walk away.
We're talking about Russians. Remember the promoter cowboy?
Yeah.
I was working up in Greenville somewhere with Candace Perdue. Cowboy would sit there and said, you know, bring your friends up and I'll rent you all the room. You know, you won't have to drive back because we're going to be doing a football stadium the next night. And I just saw these friends for the first time probably in 30 years. And they started talking about, remember that room that we was afraid was going to get attacked in? You can see the stars through the ceiling. And I said, when I sat down on the bed, my bed hit the floor.
Oh, wow.
And I sat there and I thought, well, at least y'all are still off the floor. Well, if it starts raining, what are we going to do? And I said, I guess we're going to get back in the car. Then I told Cowboy the next night, I said, next time we need to get a room, I'll get my own.
Right?
And
was that,
he's like,
now, Cowboy, was that Paul Hellman? Up in Greenville, that was Paul, right?
Yeah.
The original Cowboy. Yeah.
Yeah. Big boy. Yeah.
Oh,
original
absolutely.
Cowboy. Big boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Boy. I have a Susan story.
Okay.
Does anyone remember the friend of solitude, Jimmy? We just called him Jimmy the referee.
Jimmy the ref. Yes.
Jimmy the ref. Okay. So there was a tag team match. And it was Judy Martin and Mike Nova against Susan, and it might have been you, Velvet. I'm not exactly sure.
I don't remember. I know what you're talking
somehow,
about, but
it could have been. But anyway, the whole thing was somehow, and I don't know if Susan started the rib or Judy Martin started the rib. Somebody had ribbed Jimmy into thinking somebody had a gun in the audience. Scrambled around, and I thought he was gonna wet himself for the duration of that match.
Reggie,
you remember that or no?
Yeah, huh? But do you remember this one when we had Grady the first time Grady worked for me, and Grady was going to ref Susan and Judy. Judy went out first, and Susan goes, "Hey, there's no referee in this match." And he looked at her and said, She goes, "Go on, there's no referee." So I'm standing there talking to Susan, waiting for her thing, and as I'm walking away from Susan because her music's starting to hit, he comes running back and goes, "How come you didn't tell me there was a referee in this match?" I said, "What are you talking about? Judy said there's no referee." I said, "Get your behind back in that ring." So he runs back out in the ring, and Judy's got her head down in the corner looking back at it, peeking at it, and she's dying laughing. So great. Poor Scott. I was like, "Scott, come on, man." Judy did that a lot.
Yeah.
Judy has done that a lot.
Judy was great.
Yeah,
fan. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm
no, go ahead.
Over
go
you
ahead.
Again.
I got you. No, go ahead.
No, FanFest. I believe this. Yeah, it was 2006. It was up there in Charlotte, and Judy saw me and Malachi, and at one point I was off by myself, and she goes, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just kind of wandering around." And she goes, "No, you're with me." And Judy grabs me by the arm. And, like, introduces me to, like, everybody. Like, Paul Orndorff, Ted DiBiase, who I actually worked with, like, 2 weeks before in Columbia. And all kinds of people. And she was just great like that. She was really, I mean, as tough as she was in the ring, she was just as sweet and nice outside of it. So I've always, you know, appreciated her for that.
And I appreciate Susan Green for getting me in bar fights in Columbia. Damn it.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I knew that.
She told me after I had to referee the show, okay? She told me I could not do Velvet, but she wanted me on the show. She said, "You referee the show." I said, "Okay." So I refereed the show. Judy and I don't know what Judy was drinking, but I'd already had a couple shots and a beer. And Susan's standing up right next to me, and this dude kept messing with her, talking stuff about Texas, and she goes, let me tell you something. She goes, I'm from Texas. He goes, oh, whatever, blah, blah, blah. He goes, anybody can buy belt buckles. She goes, really? It's like, oh, here we go. So I go to get up and move, and I feel this hand on my shoulder. She pushed me back down. She goes, no, you stay right here. I went, oh, golly, here we go. So this guy stands up, squares off at her, and he goes, what you going to do? She goes, I'm going to knock you out. He goes, I'd like to see it. Bap. One hit a quitter. And next thing you know, everybody's like, ah, fine. Ah. And Judy's like, get me out of the place. She grabs me and goes, get me out of here. Get me out of here. I'm like, I don't know what to do, man. She's like, she's dragging me. Come on. I'm like, get off of me. That was so funny, though. Susan was just standing there. You know, I was like, holy crap,
we need
she's
to
just
say-
standing there.
We need to save a few of these for the Hall of Fame, but Susan was wrestling
absolutely.
Leilani Kai. She was wrestling Leilani Kai. And she was wrestling Leilani, and I think she got the win, and Judy jumped her or something like this. My memory's a little fuzzy, but I know Judy interfered at some point. So mm-hmm. It was only the second show my mother had ever gone to, and she's not a big wrestling fan. She would rarely come because she would, like, hate, you know, if I got beat up or something like that.
Right, exactly.
So,
get that.
She goes, so after the show, she goes, and I forgot exactly what Judy was wearing, but she was like, said, who was the lady that jumped in the ring that looked like she just got something out of the Sears catalog? And I about died. Laughing. I was like, oh no. I said, Mom, I said, that lady, I said, you hush, that lady's a legend. She doesn't say stuff like that.
Holy cow.
I will have to say, after that match, my boss felt so bad because that was on a Wednesday night. Thursday, when I went into work, I was an engineer for the city. My boss came in, my supervisor says, I know you really feel bad, you can go home. Gave me a paid day off because they'd come and watch me fight. Said it wasn't fair. It paid off. I got paid for not having to work.
That's awesome. So I have. Let me ask Angela Vanderhall this question now.
Sure.
Now, I know that you are in connection with the promoter of Battleground Championship Wrestling, Adam Helms. Are you going to come back and manage, or are you just going to go jump to the Hall of Fame and say that's it? What is on your mind for right now?
Let's put it this way. If Adam puts a contract in front of me, that is satisfactory. You know I love money. I love opportunity. Just Bradley knows that. Never say never.
You
never,
opportunistic
never,
son of a bitch.
That's right. Let's just put it this way. I'll put this out to Battleground Championship Wrestling. I never say never. Don't call me retired because I haven't officially announced
Thank
retirement.
You.
And my story. That's right. And hopefully she never will. God bless her. And my door is open. Let's put it that way.
Oh. Okay.
My door is open.
Forever. Forever.
Forever.
And let me put it to this. Whenever I sit there and I'm still training people. In fact, I just got a new student that's going to be starting within the next couple of weeks.
Yes, ma'am.
I find that it's a whole lot easier to wrestle than it is to train somebody. Because when you're training somebody, you're going over.
I'm only laughing because of some of the fun that I've seen over the years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You go over and over.
No, you're a fantastic trainer.
He's awesome.
I trained with one of the, you know, Blackjack Mulligan was my training partner. You know, we saw each other before he passed, and we talked before he passed, and it was like, you know, whenever we was on the road, we just, of course, he got into a territory, and I was just passing through. You know, if we had stayed more than 2 weeks, it was like I was there a long time. But I said, I traveled and saw him from coast to coast down in Mexico, around the world, just like with Ric Flair and all, you know what I mean? Those two guys, I could sit there and if they scared me when they was driving, I could sit there and tell them I was going to kill them and they'd just laugh. You know? Said, you're going to beat me up. And I said, no, I'm just going to kill you. If you don't kill me first, I'm just going to kill you.
All right, that's great. All right, it's time for the last minute questions. Anybody have a question?
Yeah.
Don't jump
be nice
up
to me, Reginald.
All right, Steve Logan has one. Go, Steve.
I'm ready.
Well, what's like the worst bump or offense you've taken as a manager?
Oh, that's an easy one. And I've probably said this on several different shows. I was in the ring with I was teaming with John Schuyler against Big Hoss. It was supposed to be a handicap match. And from what we understood, it was like, well, it's 2-on-1. We've got to beat one guy. That'll be easy, right? So the 400-pound monster comes out, and the final spot was me climbing on his back to put him in a sleeper hold. And if anybody knows Big Hoss, he's so big, it's hard to hold on to. And I was sweaty. He was sweaty. I kind of flipped. He was going to scoop and just fall on top of me. Well, the scoop happened, and I saw on replay where I kind of turned loose. I guess I lost my grip, and we hit heads.
Ooh.
And I got a concussion, and he didn't. That was
a 10-man block for a head.
Yeah. It was by far the worst one. I mean, you had Johnny Blaze on, and you know, Blaze told me he told me flat out, he goes, I never would have took that bump. And I had several people like, we thought you were dead. And I was like, well, I wasn't dead from the bump. It was the
dead from hitting
heads. The worst part.
Yeah,
from hitting heads. That was the worst part. I mean, my body was fine, which was, you know, the amazing part
the
of it.
You should have been training Big Hoss whenever I was trying to teach him the lockup, and he'd look down. I said, keep your head up. You know, I said, he came in and locked up, and his arm was being a little bit short compared to his size. And he butted me in the head, and I went to my knees, and he said, well, why'd you do that? And I thought, don't look down. Keep your head up.
Right? You're going to kill me. Holy crap.
Great guy, large head.
Extremely
large head.
All right. Next up, thank you, Steve. That was good. Is Jeff Bradley. Question
or great
comment?
Question.
Oh, Reggie, what's your favorite JBE moment?
Oh, good God!
There's
got to be one. There's got to be one where I made you break character.
Oh,
Jess, I don't remember the one you made me break character, but my favorite one is where we had your birthday celebration, and I didn't tell you I was going to sink Wind Beneath My Wings. I think I broke you on that.
You broke everybody, dude. I was dying. I was like wet my pants when you started singing that.
I had no preconceived plan for that. It just hit me. When we got in the ring and we started talking, it just hit me in the head. I sang karaoke the night before. Now, I've never sang that song. But, I sang at a karaoke bar that weekend. And I'm like, I'm gonna get him. I whispered in Skippy's ear, that was good. I said, watch this.
I think that's what made all that really fun is because none of it was really planned.
No,
we never planned anything.
No,
we didn't.
Didn't have to. Didn't have to. You guys could go out there and say whatever. You know.
Yeah.
y'all bashed the heck out of everybody. I mean, but it was fun.
Preston
absolutely
and
fun.
Dave Velvet, you know, Tommy Feathers Velvet, Jess Bradley, and Skippy to a certain extent, I kid. And Mike Nova, you know, we were so comfortable with each other. We didn't have
oh, yeah.
to plan anything. You didn't
nope.
have to.
It would
just come naturally. Yeah.
Yep.
So that was the great part about working with you guys, because it was easy.
Yeah.
I've managed so many guys down the road that would plan everything out. And I'm like, guys, I'm like 40-something years old. You expect me to remember all of these spots?
Yeah.
Guy would tell me, look for the drop kick and then jump up on the apron. They'd throw 5 drop kicks in the match.
Right.
I'm like, okay,
right.
Which one of these, you know, anytime. Yeah, you know, so, but, yeah.
My favorite was, and I don't know, Johnny Z. And I don't know who he was working, but he let this kid tell him the entire match, and they get ready to walk out, and he turned back and looked at him and said, "What are we doing again?" And he walked through the curtain.
He did that. He did that with Bubba Kirk one night.
Pretty much the same thing.
He was working. Yeah, he was working Bubba Kirk up in Columbia, and about middle of the match, Bubba Kirk got him in a headlock, and Johnny Z whispers to me, "I'm refereeing the match." He goes, "What's the next spot, brother?" And I was like, "If you don't remember, I don't remember." But we managed to transition into something.
Right.
I don't know what it was.
I had early on Black Angel and Michael Devine standing at the curtain. They were watching the match, and they came out, and they go, and we're standing there, and this kid's going over the match, and I'm talking to them, and he just talking behind me. We're going to, you know, this and blah, 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 blah. And Angel looks at me and goes, "You talking about your match?" I said, "I guess so, because I don't know." I said, "That's the 75th move we're going to do." He started laughing. And then I said, so we're standing at the curtain, and his music plays. He's still talking to me, and I turn around, fist bumping, "Man, hey, man, let's have a good show." He goes, "What?" I said, "Your music's playing. Get out there." So we get out there. We get in the ring. We lock up. And then he tried to push me in the rope. I spun around, shot him off, and I stood in the middle of the ring, and I didn't call nothing. So he's running at me. His eyes are big. I just did a back elbow to the jaw, and I picked him up. So you going to listen now? That's not what we're doing. We're not doing all that. But
yeah.
Anyway, Sinister, what do you got going on? I know. Hang on. I got to get Sinister because he's got some news for us.
Yes, sir,
hang
yes,
on. Sinister, hit it.
Yeah. Yeah, what's up?
When's your fight going to be?
About your match.
Yeah.
You're talking about the jiu-jitsu match?
Your MMA match, yeah. Or whatever, your jiu-jitsu match, yeah.
Yeah, once it
July the 24th. And it's going to be at the Columbia Rec Center here in Augusta. So,
okay, cool.
Still, yeah.
Man, UFC was crazy last night. Like there was a leg break during the start of the fight. It was crazy. Like
yeah,
Anderson Silva break.
That's right.
Mm. All right, we got a couple of minutes left. I want to give everybody a chance to promote what they got. Papa Stove, promote what you got.
All right, In the Room podcast Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, VOCNation.com. WCW Retro this Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOCNation.com. We'll be talking about the career of Rugged Ronnie Garvin, Kansas Stone.
Yeah.
And then this Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The feature will be I Buried the Living back in the 50s.
Yes.
So please do this.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, sir. Brad, you got anything to promote or end up with?
No, I just I love you all like family.
We love you too.
Thank you, brother.
Just tell your 20 kids to quit sending me uncle. They need some money from their uncle. Okay.
Hey, now, Jordan is getting married in June, so you can send him money.
Right, I'll give you some.
Fantastic. We probably all will.
Reginald Vanderhoff, the man of the hour. What do you got to plug? What you got going on?
Amazing Velvet, I would like to plug the Willis Show on YouTube. My twin brother, Jason Willis, on there. And we have video. We usually have about two or three videos a week. The one we just posted is very near and dear to my heart. I have a gentleman friend, Jamie Turner, and he tells his amazing story of cancer survival that's still going on. He still has about 15 radiation treatments to go. And go ahead, sir.
Yes, tell him to hang in there, brother.
I'll spoil a little bit of the video. He has a 17-year-old son, and him and his wife had been trying to have kids, and then they figured out one day, they were just like, one day, it was like, well, I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And
right.
All of a sudden, a baby daughter showed up right before he got diagnosed.
Wow.
So about a year before he got diagnosed.
Goodness.
So, yeah.
Wow.
And
little
Ruby Claire is three, and she's a beautiful little girl, and his family is awesome. So I would encourage anybody to go to the Willis Show on YouTube and check out his story. And if you can donate, great. If you can't, just spread the word. Spread the word.
Yes, absolutely. Who we got left? Ronnie, you still on the line?
Yes, sir.
Ronnie York, you got anything to plug?
Yes, AWS on November on the 9th.
May 8th.
Yeah, May 8th. My bad. Sorry. Hey, too many chair shots. Yeah, May 8th.
Well,
thank you for correcting me. You know, in Orangeburg, so.
All right. Cool. AWS. Right. That was that Ultimate Wrestling Showcase. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alternative Wrestling Showcase.
Alternative Wrestling Showcase. My bad. See, now I got to get corrected. Okay. Who was left out? Susie? We already. You got anything going on?
I've got my school back up to where I'm able to start training, and then hopefully in a couple of weeks, LLR said they could come back, so we'll start getting everybody back, women and men.
Nice.
Women don't seem to last very long, but I guess they don't like to
be hit.
You're
too rough on them, baby. You're too rough on them.
If they go to Japan and Mexico, they would survive. If they don't begin
to
train, they wouldn't
make it. If you train them, they'd survive. If they don't get trained by you, good luck.
Yeah.
Right. And also, we next week on Pro Wrestling Interviews, we will have some classmates going into the Carolina Wrestling Hall of Fame May 15th at Holy City Brewery in North Charleston, South Carolina. We're going to have the next couple of weeks just chit-chatting with the Hall of Famer inductees and see how they feel going into this Hall of Fame. Dr. John, are you still with us?
I am certainly here with us. And all I've got to say is thank you to everyone that was on here. We've had a great show sponsored by Transamerica, and all the listeners on WLSC AM and FM, we appreciate you, and we'll be back next week, same time, same location, on Pro Wrestling Interviews, and thank you very much.
All right.
Love you guys.
See y'all next week. Love you guys.
Yes.
All right.
Love you guys.
All right. Thank y'all very much.
Bye-bye.
Thanks
for
having
See you. Bye-bye.
Let's go. Yeah, man. All right. Hit it, John.
Hit it.
We're trying to get the British lady. But anyway, thanks a lot to everybody.
The British lady don't like you tonight.
And she doesn't like me tonight. No, she's just
all
like,
right.
Whatever. All right,
she's
we'll
like,
see everybody next week. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.